Bronson Alcott, father of Louisa May Alcott of Little Women fame, is less well-known than some of his contemporaries like Emerson and Thoreau. But in the 1840s, Alcott was called the most radical man in America, an inspiration to Emerson and Thoreau. Well, now a new book puts Bronson Alcott's life in perspective. It's called Fruitlands, The Alcott Family and Their Search for Utopia by British author Richard Francis. It tells the story of why, 2 years before Thoreau went to Walden Pond, Bronson Alcott, bankrolled by an admiring Englishman named Charles Lane, moved his wife Abigail, 10-year-old Louisa May and her three sisters, and a small group of followers into a dilapidated farmhouse on a windswept hill west of Boston, naming it Fruitlands, hoping to transcend humanity and recreate the Garden of Eden. Here and now's Lynn Manigan spoke with author Richard Francis before a warm fire at Fruitlands.
Well, the fireside was very important for them, and they sat in a semicircle to have their conversations because they actually had a notion that circle upon circle could radiate outwards, and their influence, the warmth of the fire, the heart of their community, could actually ultimately pulse outwards to the world at large.
And by conversations, you mean really philosophical conversations such as, what is man?
Yes, they had conversations with a capital C, I think one could say. They didn't really talk about the trivia of the day, and each person would take turns, even the children.
Right, and Louisa May Alcott in her diaries wrote something to the effect of her answers to what is a man. A man is an animal with a mind, a soul with a body.
They had to define what human beings were really for. The soul and the body is really a central issue for the Fruitlanders because they had the notion that everything depended on getting the actual relationship between the soul and its material envelope, the body, and its material surroundings, the environment, properly calibrated, properly tuned. Once you could do that, then the soul could be preserved in its pristine innocence and purity.
And that's what they were after.
That's what they were after, and that's why really one of the most important aspects of their communal life involved diet. In fact, what we would call a vegan diet, with no animal products, dairy products or anything like that. They tended to eat a lot of apples, a huge number of apples, and whatever vegetables and fruit they could get hold of in season.
Did they really think the Garden of Eden was going to materialize if they ate properly?
Alcott took this very literally indeed. He actually claimed to be perfect on a number of occasions. Other transcendentalists poo-pooed this approach and thought it was rather ridiculous and cranky.
There's a chart they drew up to judge themselves on ways they wanted to live. Can we take a look at that? And it mentions animal lust.
Animal lust, I'm afraid, is this equation. You eat animal products and then you become like an animal. That's how they saw it.
What else did they have to do, says this chart?
Well, yes, the chart says basically that they should have spirit-selected pairing, which actually is another way of saying they shouldn't actually have sex with anybody. And this is, I think, an area where the English transcendentalists really differed from the Alcott group. They were very anti-sex. And it's far ambiguous as to the extent to which Alcott was aware of this and the extent to which he bought into it. Certainly, when Fruitlands was underway, he advocated sexual abstention, and his wife Abigail, for a little while, seemed to support that position. But as the months went on, she became more and more aware that basically what she had on her hand was a kind of triangle. There she was with her husband and this other man called Charles Lane, who was anti the marital relationship. And so there was really a real drama beginning to unfold.
So they came here looking for a utopia, found a farm. And it's 100 acres.
Yes, they didn't actually need that number of acres because they didn't really believe in farming. They disapproved of farming because farming involved the use of animals. This was obviously, you know, a century before tractors. They wanted a garden, but in fact the Fruitlands property didn't have very many apple trees on it at all.
Now let's go out and take a look at the farmhouse itself. Now this is an astonishing view. This farm is located on a hillside. Abigail Alcott wrote about this view. She said, "One is transported from his littleness, and the soul expands in such a region."
Yes, she went for a walk 3 days after they moved into the site. She was trying to get the sense of this great sweep of possibility that this view gave you. There was that big world stretching away from the community. And if you could organise yourself correctly, then you could actually have an impact that would move far beyond where you were.
Now, they rethought everything. They tried to think about everything about how they lived. For instance, what they wore. Very unusual.
They wouldn't wear wool. They wouldn't wear cotton because it was the product of slavery. So they were really stuck with linen, which actually is not the ideal material. They wore kind of blouses or smocks. The women wore bloomers. There's a rather touching thing. They were very into cold showers. As winter comes on, it's becoming very cold. Abigail Alcott decides to take 2 cold showers a day instead of 1.
Oh, no.
The notion being that this would increase her resistance to the actual cold that was encroaching all around.
Here we are at the farmhouse. Oh, it's a very narrow room here. This is a kettle.
They wouldn't have had much use for a kettle as they drank cold water.
Did they have soup in the winter? I mean,
I don't think they did have soup. One thing I think one can easily overlook, you know, this house got very cold in the winter.
It's cold now.
It must have been very, very hot in the summer.
Let's go up the stairs.
The girls actually they all lived up in the attic. That's where they slept, yeah.
The 4 little women.
Which is probably the hottest place in the summer in the whole house.
And here's Mrs. Alcott's rocking chair. And Richard, I can't help but think when I hear this rocking that she must have sat here quite a bit, very worried.
Yes, she would worry. I think there was tremendous tension on the part, not just of Abigail, but also of the older girls, Anna and Louisa, about whether their father was going to come or go. There was a real possibility that he would go off with Lane. And they were very frightened, I think, that the family would break up. But ultimately he decided that his future lay with his family. Given that through the agency of Louisa ultimately writing Little Women, they became the most famous family in America, is just as well, I guess.
So this was an apple that was grown here?
The question is, do you now feel purified? It's very nice to eat an apple from time to time, but I'm not sure I'd like to live on them.
People in the area nowadays know Fruitlands as a wonderful place to come to eat, to have a good meal.
Well, I had my book launch here, and we had a lovely meal. Trout was offered and beef was offered, and I actually did think, my goodness, we're just a few hundred yards and 150 years away from these Fruitlanders who had lived this really austere diet. It did seem a bit inappropriate in some ways, although I much preferred it to actually having a Fruitland diet.
Here in Ausland Menegon, speaking with author Richard Francis about his new book, Fruitlands, The Alcott Family and Their Search for Utopia. There are pictures and a book excerpt at our website, hereandnow.org.